This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome back to Be Broker with Rabbi Yehoshua Gerzi in our exciting preparation series, The Key to Financial Success, embedded into the Yom Tov of Pesach. We'd like to welcome all of our listeners, the Torah Anytime listeners, the rest of our listeners that are tuning in live and recorded around the world. It's exciting to be able to spend these days heading out of Adar, leading into Nisan, preparing for Pesach Haba Aleinu L'Tova in this very, very special way.
Amen.
And we have much appreciation to our previous sponsors and are looking forward to meeting our future sponsors, which will enable this Torah to be able to be shared with a wider audience and to give a totally different experience. We guarantee that. A totally different experience. Be'ezras Hashem.
Amen. Be'ezras Hashem Yisbach. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Shehakol Nir B'dvaro.
Amen. Okay, that's a beautiful place to start with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to be speaking about the Kadosh Baruch Hu today. And it's so special. We spoke about last time, HaChodesh HaZadachem, this upcoming week, we're going to be reading HaChodesh HaZadachem as the Kriya, the calling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sharing a message with us. Kinderlach, Kinderlach, I want you to reclaim who you are. I want you to reclaim your identity, what it means to be Bnei Yisrael. And I was thinking about it today. I was reading the Shir Shoyim. We say it every Yom Chamishi. Anoichi Hashem Adokecha Amalcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I am God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Harchav Picha V'Amaleim. What's our response? The response to that is, Hashem says to us, think big. Right, open up your mouths wide. Think big. Because sometimes we can get caught in smallness because of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this very special mission.
Metzer Yam,
Mitzrayim. Exactly. This is exactly the Nekudah Hashem is saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha.
Break out of your Egypt.
Break out of your Egypt. And when I was thinking about this, really what came to mind, even though it's not a Torah, particularly on Pesach, but this such a fundamental teaching of Rav Tzadok that many of us might be familiar with. Rav Tzadok says, it's a longer piece, we just quoted a little bit of here, on the Mar Mekomos, in Tzidkas HaTzadok, Os Kuf Nun Dalid. Where Rav Tzadok says, "Kashem shetzarech Adam lahamin v'Hashem yisbarach kach tzarech acher kach lahamin ba'atzmai." Right, that just as we need to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, we need to believe in ourselves. And the Rebbe is digesting. He's digesting along with the coffee.
I wrote to Kuntrus on the self understanding. In Yiddishkeit, do we have this idea of belief in self? And this is one of the first, even though I always like to start with Pesukim and work through into Mishnah and Chazal, I start with this piece.
It's such a bold statement, and I think that it ties into the Mitzrayim experience, because for many of us, right, when we reflect on what's going on in Pesach, it's a Chag and Amunah, right? It's Amunah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And like we've spoken about, to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is big. But at the same time, what we've been speaking about over here, and this is really the Kriya of HaChodesh HaZadachem, is to recognize that we're big. And throughout the year, we can come to forget what it means to be
And there's no contradiction. It's not Balgaiva to think you're big.
Right, because when we're manifesting in Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Exactly. The more that we have to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more emunah we have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the tzaddikim we see this. Certain tzaddikim I'd go to, mamash, they had such self-esteem in how they gave a bracha. Why? Because one particular, his name was Rav Maimon, he used to say, if I don't believe in myself, I'm not a kli to makabel that shefa that's constantly coming down upon me.
Wow.
I have to be that kli. That kli is what we're saying here. You have to believe in yourself to makabel the shefa, because you are the kli that's being makabel the or.
Wow. Yeah, and once again, Pesach is that or of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally shattering the realm of Teva, and to recognize what it means for us to be Bnei Yisrael in that way. And we spoke about this practically, what this means in the realm of our relationship and our mindset when it comes to work, our relationship and mindset when it comes to finances. And we find this amazing gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us during this time of the year, the tool that's there for us in order to be able to then enter to Pesach in this way. And what's that tool? Everyone's favorite thing to do this time of year. You're doing it right now. That's right. Klin for chametz. Right? Klin for chametz. So, HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem. Right? Only when Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes. That's when you start cleaning for chametz now. We know. At least some people start way
maybe
before.
Maybe the men do.
Right, the men, I think, wait for a Chodesh Adachem. Now it's an Avodah, a Chodesh Adachem. I have to clean for Chametz. But a Chodesh Baruch Hu, this time of the year, the way we come into Pesach, right, and I know for being somebody that's cleaned a lot for Pesach, you know, sometimes, you know, without a deeper meaning, and Bezos Hashem today, we're going to uncover a very spiritual way to connect to cleaning for Pesach. You can feel like an Eved. You can feel like, Kadosh Baruch Hu is making me feel like I'm in Mitzrayim, and I'm cleaning, and I'm sweating. I have to come into Yom Tov Mamish like exhausted and achy from all this cleaning. But yes, Kadosh Baruch Hu designed that we should be cleaning for Chametz. And everyone speaks about, we find it, you know, in the Sifrei Musa, the Sifrei Kabbalah, but we're going to start, as Rebbe just mentioned, we always generally do in the base Medrash of Pilsa, to start earlier and seeing within Chazal, when we're cleaning for Chametz, we're not just talking about the physical manifestation of a piece of bread or a cookie, right? But Chametz is something which manifests forces and an energy that we want to get rid of, right? So let's take a look. Let's jump into the Gemara in Brachos and Yud Zayin. As Rebbe said, Brachos Tov, right? The Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, where we have brought down different gersos, different versions of tefillas that the Amoraim would say, that they would add to their Shmona Esrei. So here we have a teaching, right? You could amate the two different versions of what Rav Alexandri said, but according to this second version, right, the Rav Hamnuna, right, that he said that Matzli Rav Alexandri, Rav Alexandri Basud, the Matzli Amar Hachi, how did he daven? What was this tefillah that he added? Ribono Elamim, Galoi V'yadua Lefanecha, Hashem, you know. This is Lashon Galoi V'yadua Lefanecha. This is thinking about the Reli Melech, like that Lashon that he uses over there as well. It's like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, only you know. You know really what's inside of my heart. So Galoi V'yadua Lefanecha, Shiritzenenu La'asoyis Ritzonecha. It's a tefillah over there. Right, that you know that we want to serve you. We want to do your will. But in our essence, Umi Ma'akev, so what gets in the way? Se'or Sheba'isa V'shibud Malchios. Right, this Se'or Sheba'isa, right, that part of the yeast, right, in the dough, that gets in the way. What's he talking about over here? Right, Shibud Malchios, right, the fact that we're Meshubah to the Goyim, and we have different levels of suffering. What was Rabbi Alexandri sharing? What Rabbi Alexandri was sharing was that what he was speaking about is that there's a certain thing inside of us, which is the Yetzahar, right, which gets in the way, right? That's what Rabbi Melech speaks about, the length in that tefillah, the Yetzahara, Shabayir v'kirbeinu, right, that gets in the way of what we really want to do. Now, it's interesting that the Lashon that Rabbi Alexandri uses over here, he didn't say the Yetzahara, mi ma'akev ha-Yetzahara, that could have been the simple way to do it, but the way that he refers to it is a reference to Chametz. So here we see already in the Gemara and Brachos, right, a connection between Chametz and Yetzahara. And this as well, we find it in the writings of the Zohar, and in Parshas Tetzave, like Kuf Pei Beis.
Tetzave or Truma?
It's Tetzave. Tetzave. In Kuf Pei Beis, right, Teichazi, right, Teichazi. So we have a teaching, Kad Nafku Yisrael Mimitzrayim Nafku Mirashu Delahon. What happened when Bnei Yisrael, when we went out of Mitzrayim, we went out of their Rishus, Mirashu Achara, a different Rishus, Mahu Rishu D'ikrei Chametz. That this Rishus of Mitzrayim is called the Rishus of Chametz. Naba Bisha, not bad bread, right? Not positive bread, right? The Alda Ikrei Kochavim Umazal Asachi, we find as well, right, that the kochavim and the mazalos, right, are called this. And here we find a remez, right, that what's being described over here is the yetzahar, right, puchana nuchra, right, an aspect of avodah zara. The ikre of hachi seor, that what it's called is seor. So once again, the same lashon that we found used by Alexandri in Bavli, right, of referencing, right, Seor Sheba'isa, right, in the Chametz of the Yetzahar, we find being described over here in the Zohar Kaddish. And he goes on to explain, right, V'dahayi Yetzahar, this is the Yetzahar, Da'achiu Yetzahar, B'varnash, right, that when the Yetzahar is Nichnas, when it enters into a person, he has a symbolism over here, Kechamer Be'isa, that's a similar process to what happens to the Seor Sheba'isa, right, that what happens to the dough, I'll Bima. Right, that it goes in a little bit, and then boom, right, just like the chametz, right, psh, Right? It grows, it expands. And the Zohar goes on to explain over here that this is the way that we understand what was taking place when we went out of Mitzrayim, right, which is called a place of chametz, and therefore we can understand why chametz, which would be something, right, which is aser on Pesach. What would you say the connection over here is between the kochavim and mazalos in terms of understanding this point?
So some of the mefarshim explain the following: that with with the mazalos, we can see their pattern, and as we can see their pattern, we can learn to read them. And as we learn to read them, we understand the hashpa that they have on us. So the mazalos, it's a form of control.
Meaning,
I can see how they are patterning. I can see the rhythm. I can see, and then there's this inyan where I can learn to control. I can go and I could read the stars, read how the stars could be mashpia. There's a Ramchal in Adur B'Maroim and other places that speak about how all the planets and all of the different constellations, they vibrate. And you have people who can read, so to speak, the movements, and they can be sensitive to those vibrations, and they can read, which is an element of control. So just as the chametz, which is an aspect of the yetzahara, which is an aspect of maybe the unhealthy ego self, which is all about control. So together, the Mefarshim explain on the Zohar and in several other places that the star reading is an aspect of control.
Beautiful. That's, I guess, in Mitzrayim, that's what they did.
Yes, all control.
That was what they were doing. Yeah. It was part of the whole entire mindset and the whole hashkaf and the culture of Mitzrayim was dafka to be involved in that. Okay, beautiful.
Which is, again, control. With the Nile, for example, the source of their water didn't rain.
Right.
Didn't rain, so they didn't have to pick up their eyes to the heavens.
Because they had everything in front of them.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. Okay, so the very deep yisoid, right, and we're going to speak, Bezos Hashem, we're going to be speaking today about certain aspects of chametz. Obviously, right, it would be imprisoning to say that what we're speaking about today is the yisoid of chametz. Bezos Hashem will be continuing a bit when we speak about matzah in the next class. But let's take this, and really what I wanted to see, because really it was, for me, it was a very poetic experience to see the words of Rabbeinu B'chaya in the Karakemach, where he describes this within the avodah of what we're doing when we're sitting there and scrubbing our ovens and bending over and pulling out the cookies our kids put under the couch. Only my kids. British kids are manners. They don't.
My kids, they would never ever, they would only eat at the table. They never take anything anywhere, my kids. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I think it's an American. It's an American thing, yeah. Okay, so the Karakemach, once
biscuits.
Again,
not cookies.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's why they eat at the table. Okay, so the Karakemach, it's a large piece that recommended to read it.
Beautiful.
To go through it. But here we just took one little snippet. We're going to see one snippet here and one snippet a little bit later in the class today. So look what the Karakemach Rabbeinu B'chaya says. It says, "Kishem sheba kabbalah levar hachametz v'livdo kabayis b'chorin v'vistakim." Just like we have, like the halacha, this is what we do. We go and we need to be mevar. We need to get rid of the chametz and to check all the cracks and all the crevices, you know, under the couch and between the couch and between the chairs. You know, it's. I still remember when I was in Kollel before, at the point I didn't have children yet, or maybe just had a baby, and the Rosh Kollel was speaking about the halachas of where you need to check. You know, so you're saying what's considered to be the modern day, like, you know, pockets. You know, so you're saying once you have kids, like, the whole entire house is like v'cheskas, like, pockets, you know, it could be anywhere, mamish anywhere. So where we need to check. So he says, "Kach anu chayavim lachbos v'levdok chedrei beten v'akloyos v'machshavosav u'mehirhurim royim." We need to check inside of ourselves. But who's the rabbi that, you know, the Bikas Chametz, he went there with the story? He pulled off his shirt and he put it by his heart. One of the rabbis, Sasev or Rabbi? Okay,
Sasev.
Okay, beautiful. That's a story. Remember, like, the imagery. Mm-hmm. I always think about it at Bdikas Chametz. Then I'm like, my kids are all going nuts. So, well, I'm not going to do it anyways. But it may be entertaining. Actually,
it's nice to think about.
It's nice to think about.
Just to hold that, just to take that and inflect it. You know, turn it in. you start looking. Start looking.
What the story? Oh, the story was that the story is that when he came to Bdikas Chametz. Right, so he's standing there, you know, with a candle. He's standing there with a candle and all ready to start. And he, like, starts to, like, take off the shirt and the coat, and Mama's like putting the candle right by his heart. He's like, this is where I need to check. Like,
the kadakema.
This is where I need to check. This is where the kadakema.
So we learn the kadakema.
Learn to check inside of our stomachs, inside of our kidneys, go inside of ourselves, and to really cleanse ourselves. Kedem shebedikas hachametz eina en eina lo leora chama velo leora levana velo or avuka ela leor haner. The dafka, we have the way that the bedika needs to be done, right? Not by the sun, not by the moon, right? It needs to be specifically done by the or of a candle. Kach bedikas yetzahara. Once again, the Karakamach referencing over here, Chametz and Yetzirah, when it comes to searching out the Yetzirah, Eina Ela Le'or Neshama, and it creates Ner, who Shekasum Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. So we see over here beautifully portrayed the Rebbeinu Bechaya explaining that really what's taking place within our Bedikas Chametz is this process of cleaning out the Yetzirah. Right, but what is the Yetzirah? Right, the Yetzirah is—it's a big topic, right? Obviously, what the Yetzirah is, but what we want to speak about here today, in the context of what we're speaking about, right, coming off of this Hachodesh Hazalachem of us reconnecting and reclaiming who we are, right, and how we can forget really who we are in our essence, right? What we want to speak about is this idea of Chametz being something that just old beliefs and old ideas.
One dimension of the Yetzirah.
Right, one dimension of it. Right, one dimension. Obviously, the Yetzirah is big. We're going to speak about it's big, it's small. It's a topic. But what we're going to be speaking about, Rezus Hashem, certain ideas around this, because this is something which we understand how Hashem built into the Avodah for us to really be able to come to Pesach from a clean place. How would we describe this idea of Chametz being something which becomes old, stale.
The chametz gets left out. We've got the sugya in Gemara Pesachim. The chametz gets left out and it becomes stale. So that one of the ideas, one of the dimensions, one of the ideas here is that if the sugya of chametz is related to the Yetzirah, it's related to the different dimensions of the Yetzirah, one idea that's brought forth in a number of Svarim, and this is something that one of my relatives, the Heilige Sasva Rebbe, used to say over in the name of the Zayde the Rapshitzer, that Chametz can represent our old beliefs. Chametz represents our limiting beliefs. And we, on Rosh Hashanah, experienced a godless, on Pesach, we experienced a godless, we experienced an unbelievable freedom. And that freedom flooded in new ideas of who we are, what we are. We were slaves, we're not slaves. What does that mean now? As you mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is big. We are big. I'm big. You're big. And we limit ourselves. One of the avedas of Betikas Chametz, one of the avedas of understanding when we're going round, it's clearing out these old memories. It's recognizing what these memories are. What are these thoughts that I'm thinking, that are holding me back from living big? The cynicism, the skepticism, the pessimism, the sarcasm. What have I picked up over the year that sculptured my outlook, that sculpturing and limiting my view? And it's to be aware of it, it's to be really aware of it. And it's having the ability to cleanse ourselves and bring in new thinking, bring in new ideas, bring in new beliefs.
I guess that would be the flip side of the chametz is chachos,
which is
the
bechinas matzah. It's bechinas of matzah. Chametz is getting caught up in our whole description of what the chair is, and not just relating to the chair.
Of what it actually is. Yeah, the
bechina of matzah is freshness. Bechina of matzah is I'm relating to reality as is, and less to all of my convoluted, complex, polluted thinking.
Wow, it's very deep. Yeah, we're gonna really excavate that idea as we speak about matzah next time in terms of where stress comes from and all of our thinking. But I think, you know, just to be able to take this beautiful idea, who is it you said from the Rav Shitzer, that he says this idea of emunas yeshanos, right? That we look at one aspect of chametz, of being old beliefs that we have, right? And this is something for us practically to ask ourselves, right? As we're looking to be able to experience Geula on all levels, right? In the context of what we're speaking about in the Shir, right, based off of what we saw in the first year, recognizing tremendous potential, right, for Shefa and Parnasa, what is it that holds us back from being able to experience that? Right, and we can ask ourselves practically questions, right, questions of mindsets of that we may have that are limiting us. Right, so some questions, one may be a question.
Well, do you remember we spoke about an Avoda? If you want to be fearless, you have to write
a fear list.
Fear list. If a person wants to be fearless, they have to write a fear list. What's a fear list? A fear list is writing down, what am I afraid of? We have fears, especially if people don't necessarily recognize the fact that when we want to embark on a new journey, if a person, for example, wants to embark on public speaking, there's always a shadow. The Sfarim tell us, and we know just from human experience, that there's always a shadow. So a person wants to be a public speaker, however, they are afraid of being judged and they're afraid of being criticized. A person wants to, I don't know, be a businessman, but they want to sit and be a potato couch. What's it called? Right. A couch potato. Yeah, so you have a person who wants to do something, a person who wants to be active, and then what is a fear that can get in the way? So if you want to be fearless, one way to help is write a fear list. What am I afraid of? What are my old beliefs? What have I picked up during the year? Old beliefs that are in my head. Take it out. Fear list. And then you could be fearless. And to be a frum Jew, to be a Jew, to be a normal, healthy human being, is to be fearless.
Right. I mean, it sounds, if I'm understanding correctly, right, is that we could recognize the fact that there are old beliefs that are holding us back. And I think in a couple of minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to throw out some really powerful questions that we can ask ourselves to be able to uncover what these beliefs might be around money, about finance, about work, about gashmias. But we could recognize that old beliefs are holding us back, but still at the same time, we just hold on to them. And it sounds like, what's the reason why we're holding on to them? Is because of these fears and these insecurities that
there's
we
a
have
beautiful,
that are holding
there's
us
a
back.
Beautiful Yismach Yisroel from the Rebbe of Alexander, and he writes that even though it may seem a person has a fear, and that fear is discomfort, there's something that we enjoy about it. There's some positive intention we're getting out from it.
Otherwise, we wouldn't hold on to it.
What am I benefiting from having this right now? There's always a benefit. And again, it's a big Torah within itself. But a person doesn't do something without getting some sort of return, even with a fearful belief. So a fearful belief could be protecting them. And as well, sometimes, it's an amazing reality, but sometimes a person will have some sort of anxiety. It sounds a bit odd at first. I realize it may be a bit shocking to hear at first, but a person sometimes has an anxiety because it gives them something, or they have some sort of insecurity because it gives them something. I remember a situation where a person actually was not well, and they did trauma therapy. And it was very fascinating because what came out is that the reason why they enjoyed not being well, I apologize, Baruch Hashem, the lungs are talking to me. It's because when they weren't well, they were taken by their husband to the hospital. Baruch Hashem, they're better now. But when they realized, this was a few years ago, when they realized that, oh, look at that, the person ended up becoming sick on one level, and they realized, when they realized that they actually just wanted time with their husband, who was a workaholic, and their husband had to stop, lo and behold, they would spend time together going to the hospital. And when they realized this through the trauma therapy, when they did this, she healed, and they had this better communication. So there's always something. There's always something we're getting out of any discomfort, right, even though it sounds radical, it sounds strange.
Yeah, that's radical and strange, that particular story. But it takes a bit of courage to accept that about ourselves. But I think that what's being shared is so many people, and I include myself in there also. We have all these things in our lives that we want to change, and all these things that we recognize that we're being held back from. Right, and then the question is, okay, well, why don't we just actually do it? Like, why don't we actually change? And part of the process of being able to make that change and clean that out is to become aware of, what's that part of it that we enjoy, And that enjoyment could be that it's making us feel safe, it's making us feel protected, the fact that we're avoiding certain fears
exactly,
that we have.
Yeah.
And that it's interesting because on some level, I think, you know, when we're looking at the topic of chametz, which was, you know, Rebbe pointed out correctly, chametz is a big topic. One aspect of chametz is to look at emunos yeshanos, which is that concept which we see, something which is just sits around and doesn't become fresh, and then it becomes chametz. But there's other aspects of chametz which is spoken a lot about, which is the idea of gaiva, right? The idea of gaiva, and it sounds like these two are connected.
Gaiva and insecurity,
meaning
or gaiva
well,
and fear.
Well, it sounds. I mean, I know in the Pilsner based Medrash, the way that we understand the experience of gaiva is the experience of gaiva is insecurity. So when we speak about trying to get rid of the chametz, right, in our lives, right, so very often people are like, I need to get rid of chametz, I need to get rid of gaiva. Okay, well, what does that mean? Okay, I want to get rid of gaiva. So here we're seeing that getting rid of chametz means becoming aware of what those fears and insecurities that we have are in our lives that are actually feeding us holding on to these limiting beliefs, old beliefs, inability to be able to move forward and really achieve who we can become, the type of lives that we want to live. It's fascinating to see that, you know, connection between the two.
So we call gaiva insecurity. It's based on Rav Kook. Rav Kook writes in a few different places. One of the places is Musar Avicha. There's layers to midos. There's layers to experiences that we have. So for example, a person is angry. Well, actually, if you go behind that anger, what's there? If you go behind, say for example, a person's angry, they are behind that, they are wanting to be... Most bad character traits emanate from control. We want to control. So a person feels angry, but behind that anger, there's not just anger there, behind it there's frustration. Behind that there's annoyance. Behind that maybe they're trying to protect themselves from something. You know, they're trying to protect themselves from being hurt. So a person could experience the end product of a certain character trait, but the question is, what's behind it? And what's actually giving energy for that external expression? And that, again, we go into the deep-rooted drivers of what's driving us. So you can have five people and they all appear angry, yet for each person, it could be the drivers behind that anger may be different. And usually, just take a bullied. A bully may seem on the outside very strong in who they are, but really, if they were so strong, if they had a good sense of self, good self-esteem, they wouldn't have to bully. So we call it insecurity. Gaiva, when a person's a bal gaiva, there's an insecurity. There's something which they are not shalem within themselves. Either their relationship with themselves, their relationship with divine intelligence, their relationship with certain other people, their relationship with the world around them. There's something that's not shalem, and then they have to express it in this way which is unhealthy.
I see. Meaning, so the behavior which classically people identify or translate as gaiva, which would be
haughty,
arrogant
and haughty.
Meaning a person may be acting in that way, but really
underneath the gaiva
is
some sort of insecurity,
feeling of self-worth or fear that's basically driving
confidence
that person
or self-worth.
In that way.
So we go behind and we try to, when we do, not for now, but when we do our excavation on midos, when we take a character trait, whether it's simcha, so we say the word simcha, we're very quick to translate simcha as happiness. Well, who says that that's an accurate translation? Who says it's an accurate translation? We are very good at taking a character trait and then we put an English equivalent. So when we speak about bitachon, who says bitachon is actually trust?
Right.
Bitachon, even though it's very similar, however experientially it's very different, trust is very abstract.
Right.
What do we say? We use the term safe. Do I feel safe? Safe is to do with our body, our bodily experience. Emunah, we translate, for example, again, it's a bigger subject, but the idea or the experience of emunah is our frameworks of thinking.
Right.
And then devekus is connection, attachment. So we're always connected to things. We're always looking at the world a certain way, and our body is always feeling a certain feeling. Am I feeling calm, excited? So when we take the word gaiva, when we and we go into the sugya of gaiva, a bal gaiva is somebody who, yes, haughty, but what's underneath that haughtiness? If we go to the source, it's insecurity, which is control.
Right, and I guess insecurity around and the fears that are connected to it, which, once again, in terms of, you know, tying this back to what we're sharing with another understanding of chametz being emunas yeshanos, that yeah. These two things are really connected. So let's jump into our fear list of, you know, our fear list. So ask some real questions. I'm asking the question to myself as this is something I'm working on. And we can all ask ourselves, if you have a pen and paper, or if you have a computer open, or on your phone, you know, you can really, an invitation is there for you to not just hear these questions, but to think about them.
Beautiful.
And even as a bonus, to write it down, right? Because as we know, it's a big topic within itself, right? The benefits of writing things down and how that's going to impact us. So here's just a few questions. Right? Once again, this is a topic which expands beyond finances and parnasa, but because that's the theme of what we're speaking about over here, these are the questions we're going to be asking. Right? And a question over here might be, right? I can't have more wealth. Right? I can't be wealthy. Right, because, right, if you finish that sentence for yourself, right, what would come up for you? Right, what would come up? What would be the reason? Right, that's coming up just without thinking.
And then you could write the list. You could write your
list of what those things are. I can't be wealthy because I don't have the skill set. I can't be wealthy because I don't have money, because I wasn't born into money. I can't be wealthy because because no one ever taught me how to do it, because it's not my mazel. Whatever comes up, just be very real. Just be very real with yourself.
And you could write this down. You don't have to show it to anybody.
Except just post it on comments.
That was a joke.
That was a joke. If you're really fearless, you're both... Okay.
But this is... I've got on my diary...
Yeah, we do this in
I've got on my diary, to be fearless, I have to write my fear list. That's what I have at the top. And it takes courage.
This is real avodah. This is the real cleaning. You know, like cleaning the oven's hard, but this is the real...
But you sit with this. Sit with the question and you just write down words that come up, or write down sentences that come up. And sometimes, it leads into this internal conversation and you realize you picked up things that bichlal are even Jewish.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have these ideas because society has told you something, or family members, sometimes they're very well-meaning, or friends. Sometimes you've picked things up, or you've just seen things. And you've read even Maima Chazal. You've read one side of the Maima Chazal, or you heard a Masaira, not the other side of the Maima Chazal.
Or you heard a Mr. Shmuz, right? It's so important, and really this is real, real internal work.
This is beautiful.
The first step is just getting it out there. Yeah. Another one, right?
Meaning, so let's just read that one. I can't have more wealth because. And just notice what happens. Okay.
Just see what comes up. Right, another one can be, right, is that things can't be better at work because.
Beautiful.
Things can't be better at work because. Right, or I'm not able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my job because. And see what comes up. Right, because what? What do you mean? I'm a financial analyst. I'm not a rabbi. I'm working in an office with goyim, or I'm working in an office with non-from people. Right, I'm on sales calls all day. Right,
we have in our chabura, we have a particular person who works in Tel Aviv, and they mamash are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day long at work. And I remember when we did this a long time ago. He basically said, no, I can't even write. I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He comes and he tells us stories, crazy stories. A woman getting married, and they were going to have a pizza, and he was Masada. They had a suda. Wherever you are, you are your own limitation.
Right.
Because limitation comes from this. This is matzah, which we'll go into.
100%. Right.
So these are very powerful questions.
The questions that we could be asking ourselves, right? One in the area of money, right? There are more, but just for now, this is what we do in the Global Chabur, really to go into Avodas, because that's really the purpose over here. But let's just one question, to keep it simple, one question about money, one question about work, one question about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our Parnasa, and just write it, and just to become aware of it. And really what the invitation is that as we go through this process of bedikas, of cleaning out chametz, right? To recognize that this is an opportunity for us as we're bending over and reaching up and cleaning, that ultimately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be doing, right, is to go through this internal process of finding these old ideas and old beliefs, and what are the fears that are feeding, and what are the insecurities that are feeding and making us hold on to these destructive, sabotaging beliefs that are holding us back from fulfilling our potential and being a Chodesh HaZadachem Yidin and being who we can be. But we're holding on to them because we're afraid, because of something we heard, because of a misunderstanding. And Be'ezus Hashem, to take that into it, let's jump into the Karak Kemach, because you know the time's running short. But this
can we just share this medrash outside, the medrash Tanchuma in Bereishis?
About
the Eitzahara?
About the Eitzahara, yeah.
I just want to point out something.
It's important because there could be a misunderstanding.
We've got another Makor here, Medrash Rabba in Bereishis. Which we spoke about yesterday, and I think this Medrash Rabba is really important. You know, sometimes the Yetzer Hara ain't our amigo. The Yetzer Hara ain't our amigo, and sometimes the Yetzer Hara is our amigo. So the ego ain't our amigo at times, and the ego is our amigo. What does that mean? Is that the Medrash says very clearly that the Yetzer Hara is neither good or bad. The Yetzer Hara is an Eved Hashem. Yetzer Hara is an Eved Hashem. Just to say, on the Loshon of Ra, Resh Ayin is air. It's awakened for something else apart from Achdus Hashem and Achdus within our lives. We are a spiritual being having a physical experience. The Ikka Aveda is oneness, Achdus, unity. Unity between us, unity between the world around us, unity between us and us, unity between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achdus, oneness. And the way that manifests is by asking a question. Is my next action going to bring greater unity in this world or not? And Ra, the Yetzer Hara, Ra is unintegrated. Ra is that it's not connected to Echad. So for example, we have Vahafta Lere'echa Kamocha. Same root, the root of Ra. Surely it should say Vahafta Chavarecha Kumocha. Love your neighbor as yourself, but the word, or love your neighbor as yourself, Re'echa, is somebody who you're not as close to. And the root of the word means separate, unintegrated. Another word, Ro'etzon, which is a shepherd, or Tru'ah. Do, 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 Tru'ah, when we blow the shofar. What's the similarity between all these words? It's the word Ra is unintegrated. So Vahafta Lerecha Kamocha is Bedafka, those people who are not so close to you, bring them in. Ro'etzon, what's the job of the shepherd? To bring in the sheep that has strayed. Tru'ah, it's broken. We're bringing it in. We're uniting. So the Yetzer Hara has a job. It's an Eved Hashem. And the Yetzer Hara does its job very authentically. And it's not good or bad. It has its Aveda. We have to learn to cultivate and foster a healthy relationship with what we call the ego, the nefesh, the lower self, the Yetzer Hara. And we have to learn to even integrate the Yetzer Hara into our Aveda Hashem.
Right. Beautiful, beautiful. And it's so essential. I know that this is outside the context of this topic, but you know, in Rabbi's Chaburas, as we go through the model of Das and understanding the architecture of the soul, you know, there's a line that Rabbi shares all the time, which is that, you know, our nefesh or our lower self is always there trying to help us, yeah. Right? And it's important. It is important. Unfortunately, we're not able to get into the context of this shir, but as you go through this process, and I think this is why Rebbe wanted to make sure that to share this, because of a possible misunderstanding, that when we go through this process, Be'ezus Hashem, of our cleaning for chametz and our bedikah of chametz and going through chametz and uncovering what our limiting beliefs are and uncovering what are those fears and insecurities, perhaps a person could have a misconception of what those are and feel those are evil and those are bad. And what Rebbe's trying to share is that there's a role really for everything.
And even more than that, can I share what we do with this piece of paper once we've done it? Or not yet?
We're going to do that. Yeah, we're
at the end?
Okay.
Let me just, one nakuda is when we've written down the fear, when we've written down our fear list, to do something which again takes courage, thank each fear.
Well, I think that's connected thank to what you just shared. Fear. So thank the fear is because of recognizing the role of it.
Recognizing you were trying to help me. And I appreciate the fact that you were trying to help me and I'm growing. I now don't need you the way I needed you before.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's connected to what you just shared and seeing the Yetzirah is not, you know, the Ra, recognizing what its role is. So what do we do? So once again, where are we holding right now? We're holding with, like, you know, grimy hands, you know, and sweating from all of that, you know, climbing up and scrubbing. We have a few different stages of this cleaning out chametz process. And once again, going back to this beautiful, beautiful poetic piece of the Kara Kemach, he explains over here, and this is the last Marmakom we have, he says, right, that we find that when it comes to the different Isurim that we have, when it comes to chametz, the descriptions, we have a description that a person shouldn't see, a person shouldn't find. And what the Kara Kemach is going to do, he's going to explain, right, that when it comes to lo yirayah, right, that a person shouldn't see, that he says is in the realm of maisa. Right, just hold on and read through the piece; it will all become clear. Lo yimatze, and then a person should find it b'machshava. That's in the realm of machshava. Rather, what should we do? Ela shivat lanu b'lev. What we need to do is we need to be mevatalit. Right, we know that we have within the process of getting rid of our chametz, we have the process of bedika, we have the process of biur, we have the process of bittul. So here he's referencing the fact that we have lo yimatze is b'machshava. We should be mevatal inside of our lev. And he says, with the fisha mitzvah shlosha chalokim, we find that the mitzvah is broken up into three parts. We have mitzvahs hapeh v'alev v'amaisa, that which we do with our mouth, that which we do with our heart, that which we do with our action, right, with our hands. Kumash kasuv in devarim beficha ulevavcha la'asaisa, right, that we have beficha to do with your mouth, ulevavcha with your heart, la'asaisa to do. Baha toira levatlo, so we have over here when it comes to chametz, right? Because chametz is representing, as we just saw, chametz is not just about a piece of bread. Chametz is representing all these aspects of yetzara. So we're coming to be mevatel. We're coming to be mevatel belev keneged the mitzvos that tulios belev uba kabbala levaro min abayis of the sarfo keneged mitzvos amayis. And then we have the mitzvah of biur, right, which we go and we take it with our hands, we get rid of it, we throw it in the sea, we put it down in the water, we burn it, which is keneged the mitzvos amayis. Then loymer kochamira keneged mitzvos apeh. And then we have that which we say when it comes to the bittul, right, keneged mitzvos apeh kedesh yiskaimu shloisha chelkei mitzvos beisur hachametz. So that therefore we're able to be miskayim all these three different aspects when it comes to Isser HaChametz. V'halam adatash Isser HaChametz kola mitzvah. So we see that when it comes to Isser HaChametz, we're not just talking about something specific, it's representing something which is greater. V'chemet shahachametz yesh boi remez liyetzahara. Once again, as he said before, the chametz is being miramez to the yetzahara. Mikan yesh lanu remez. Just like when it comes to the chametz, we need to be mevatel the chametz in our lev min haTorah. Kach anu chayavim levatel yetzahara me'alev. We need to be mevatel the yetzahara from our lev. Shelo yimshal banu, right, so that it won't be able to control us. So we see over here beautifully, descriptively, what the Kara Kemach Beinu Bachai is doing. He's explaining this process that we go through. Physically, when we're getting rid of chametz, it's really mirroring a process that we want to be doing internally as we cleanse ourselves out from this aspect of chametz, which would be we first have the bedika, right? Then we have
a bittul.
Right? Maybe take us through this.
Then we have
experientially.
A biru,
take us experientially what this would bittul. Look like. Let's take one example. Let's take one example, you know, of an amuna yeshana, an old belief, right, that a person may have, right, connected to a fear and insecurity, what that would look like as a person's going through this process of bdika, bittul, bir.
So this avoda that we're speaking about, maybe we can say like this. This is what we do. So before Pesach, before bdikas chametz, what we start to do is we write our list. I cannot have more wealth because. I cannot have more wealth because. And I write down my list. And the bedika, as I'm going around, I'm thinking about this as well. I'm looking for the chametz, I'm checking. And as well, I'm having inside of me, like, what's holding me back? I'm having that, I've written it down on a paper, and I'm being really honest and really owning this limiting belief. I'm owning it. That's the inyan of bedika. I found it, I'm owning it. And first stage, the bittul, we do a bittul, is I have to come to grips with the reality that either I'm going to hold on to it or I'm not going to hold on to it. So I'm now owning, I'm real with what's going on. I take a breath and I learn to let go. Stage one, I learn to let go. However, there needs to be a biru. Now this is a very, very, very deep point. This is brought by the Moshitzer, it's brought by the Ropshitzer, it's brought by several different, the Ben Ish Chai brings this, Reb Chaim Pelagi brings this, that the idea of fire is that you have to be bigger. You have to be bigger in a positive way, more fiery, more alive, more passionate in a positive way than that particular Yetzirah, than that particular old belief. That old belief has to be small compared to a new belief that you want to own. So you have to burn it. That idea of burning is that I now am going to engulf, I'm bringing in a new wave of beliefs about who I am, what I am, what I can achieve. And that's the Chodesh Adar, and I'm bigger, it's bigger than this old belief. That's the biru. That's the biru. And I burn it up with something much bigger. And then that bittle is, I accept, I have to believe it. So I'm like, excellent, amazing. Then I have to have a bittle. I have to really let go and move into a new way of thinking, a new paradigm of thinking.
Wow.
So what we do actually, I write everything down on a piece of paper, and with a Blinei de Bezras Hashem, I'll do it this year as well. I will burn that piece of paper. I will put it in the flames when I'm burning my chametz with my lulav and with the other arba minim. I'm going to put this piece of paper of old beliefs of emunas yishanos. I'm putting that into the fire as well.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you for taking us through in a very descriptive way. And what we're seeing taking place, really, just to sum up the last two shiurim, is that this process that starts with a chodesh zelechem, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, as we roll into this time of Nisan, right, to be able to take that time and reconnect with who we are, right? The Aseh Tov, the Derech of the Aseh Tov, and then the Sur Meira, right? Then the Sur Meira, to first identify who we are. Then from that place, we hear that Kriya, we're tapping into the Zman of Nisan, go through the Avodah of cleaning for Chametz in a pnimius way, and really being able to identify what are those thoughts, what are those beliefs, what are those insecurities that I'm having that are holding me back from living the type of life, the financial type of life that I want to be living, the work type of life, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Parnasa, and then be able to take that and to be able to come into Pesach ready to receive, ready to receive. Esos Hashem, we should all get there. And it's really an invitation. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving us the guidance for how to be able to access this tremendous aura over this chag.
Amen, amen. Mamash l'chaim.
So again, thank you for tuning in, and we are looking for sponsors for the rest of this powerful series of Ezra Hashem will be Zakeh the Rabbi in a tremendous way.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.